We're going to call this Bible study The Promise of Abundant Life. The promise is from Jesus. Jesus cannot lie. Now, this is the fourth of a four-part series, and this is the fourth part. So this will be the end of this series on the abundant life. Now, all the way through it all, I have given you step-by-step instruction of what Jesus said on how to get to this place where you can live the abundant life. So it is a series. I hope you take notes. I know a lot of you don't, and that's to your attraction, not mine. All right? There are some things that you'll hear here that you will never hear anywhere else again in the world. You're going to have to learn how to feed yourself. But at this time, I am feeding you. And if you don't take notes, that's on you. If you want to grow up and have an abundant life, the first thing you got to do is do the things that you don't want to do. All right? But you need to take some notes. Now, the reason why I say these things is because when you write it down and listen to it, you can always go back and pick it up again. But if you listen to it and you don't write it down, you will miss the main point. Close that door, Art. Thank you. Okay. Now, chapter 14 of John, verse 1. Father, right now I just ask that your Holy Spirit take full charge of this meeting right now, God. Let it be that their hearts and their minds are ready to receive, that the darkness that they live in is cast out in the name of Jesus, so that they might receive the light, the truth, the way, which is you. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said. Now Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know, when we first meet the Lord, we're kind of troubled because He's so different than anything we've ever been around. But Jesus is telling you all the time, relax, it's okay. I am God, follow me. And He goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm not here with you right now because I am preparing a place for you where you will be later. Glory to God. See, I'm not concerned about what kind of house I live in here on earth. I am concerned about making sure that I have the greatest mansion possible there. The things that you do for the Lord are eternal. The things that you do for yourself are temporal and passing. It's like a vapor, and then it passes away. So the things that I want to do with my life is make my life count. And in order to make my life count, then I absolutely must look towards my future in heaven, not my day-to-day whatever as I desire here on earth. Okay? The things that you do for God are forever. The things that you do for yourself are temporary and passing away. I have a guy I listen to called Ken Holloway, and he has a song that says, you aren't going to hook a trailer up to yourself when you leave. You know, and what he's saying is, the stuff that you carry around as baggage in your life is not going to heaven with you. So the best thing to do is not worry about all that baggage, but keep your eyes on the heavenly. Right? Stuff ain't going to get you home. Now, it says in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, which is heaven, and the way you know, which is through me. Now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, all right? And he's just laying out some truth for them that they might identify with in their life and see the direction that they must go in order to get to what he's talking about today. Now, I want to go from right there into verse 5. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, you see, now you better listen to what he says right here. Because Thomas is saying, but we don't know the way. How are we going to get there if we don't know the way? And Jesus gave him an answer that is an answer to every one of you in this room that you must receive into your spirit and walk it out. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to be on that path, and that's through him. So if you're making your own decisions, you're not making that through him. You're making it through you, so you're off the path. Are you hearing me? Okay. It says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. He's saying, if you know me, you know my Father, because we are one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. Okay? Now, the best way for me to describe it, this is my my layman's terms for these things, is we are made in the Father's image. Is that not right? We are all, the Trinity is not a big deal. You are a triumphant being. You have the head, the intellect, right? You have the heart, the compassion, and you have the body that does the work, right? God is, the Father is the intellect, Jesus is the compassion, and the Holy Spirit does the work of the Father. It's straight. It's really straight, okay? But does that mean that you are three in one? Or does that mean one is separate from the other? No. Your mind is connected to your body, which is connected to your compassion, your heart, right? It's the same thing. Us and God are the same. We were made in the same kind of way. God the Father is the intellect. Jesus Christ the Son is the heart, the compassion of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work as ordained by God. Now, if I see somebody laying in a ditch, my heart goes, go help that person up. So then I command my body to walk over and help pick that person up. You understand? Am I three persons? Am I three different entities in one? Not really. I'm all connected, but we all have a different purpose. So is the Father. It's not a big deal when you hear about the Trinity and all that. They just make it a lot bigger than what it is. It's simple. You know, I used to have an old statement in the world. I used to work around a lot. And I was in construction. And one of the best things that you need to do is learn communication skills. And you need to keep it simple, stupid. And when I sit in an office with my foreman and stuff around me and the people that were on crews, I would tell them one thing. When you are giving instruction to people, when you are explaining something, don't get carried away with yourself. Keep it simple, stupid. Right? So when you're explaining the Word of God, keep it simple. Well, I don't use that word. And I don't call people stupid no more. I was making that an example. Amen? Just keep it simple. Don't make it bigger than what it is. God did not ordain this Bible so that it would be hard to understand. God wrote the Bible so anybody could understand it. It says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Pray. God will bring it home. Okay? Alright. Now, in verse 9, Jesus said again, "Have I been with you so long that you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Look, you've watched me work many miracles. Don't you get it? I couldn't do this by myself unless I was in Dad." That's what he's saying, right? "He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?" See, we've got to quit looking through temporal eyes, and we've got to look into spiritual truth. We've got to open our spiritual eyes. We've got to listen with spiritual ears. We've got to quit being like the old Jewish nation of old that is looking for the Messiah to come back and reunite the nation. Amen? God came to call His own to a spiritual kingdom. So we must learn to look through spiritual eyes, and we must learn to hear through spiritual ears and not judge things by outside appearances. You see, what Mr. Thomas here was saying is, show me, God. Let me see your daddy. Right? And that's a carnal way of saying, what we all say. Well, where is your Father? What does He look like? Right? And he's saying, no, we are one. It's a spiritual thing. You need to learn to think different, and so do everybody in this room. You need to learn to look through spiritual eyes and listen with spiritual ears. It says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? What's wrong with you? Look at all these miracles. You've seen the lame man walk, the dead man rise, the blind man see. Hello! What else do you want? That's what he's saying. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak in my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. To this day, that is true. The works that you do in the Lord aren't done by you, but they're done by the Holy Spirit in you. Right? So don't get too cocky because everything's going okay. It's better you stay humble so things keep going okay. It says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Is he was telling this guy, look around, wake up and smell the coffee. You know, I am just, you look at me, I'm just flesh. How could these things be? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God Almighty working in me. We are one. And that must be your goal if you're going to walk in power. You must be one with God. And you've got to be closer to Him than anything in your life. You've got to walk in it. You've got to believe in it. You've got to act in it. Okay. In verse 12 it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the work that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus is not alive on the earth today. The Holy Spirit is alive on the earth today, which is part of the Father, which is part of the Son. But Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the go signal from God. Because He's going to come back, and when He comes back, don't be listening to people. I believe the whole world is going to know it, because this time He's going to split the eastern skies. And there's going to be trumpets and angels coming, and everybody's going to know that He's arrived. You're not going to have to listen to CNN. You're going to know it right away. I believe that in all my heart, because He's going to come back in power. Right? He already came back, and He came once in order to set us free. But the next time He comes back, He's going to come back in power and in judgment. And everybody's going to know it, and nobody's getting out of nothing. Are you hearing me? So right here it says, now this is the part that I want you to get in the four-part series. This is the promise of the living God to you. If you will follow the steps of the first three parts, if you took the notes, it shows you the path on how to get to this place of the abundant life. And what that means is right here. Most assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking to you. If you will do the things that He has, He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. If you believe something, you act on it. If you believe it's right, you practice it. If it's in your heart and in your mind, you become it. Are you hearing me? This is the hinge to the abundant life. Why do a lot of Christians walk in mediocrity? Because they don't want to take the step to victory. You better get this. It says in the Word of God, you cannot serve me and the world. That is compromise. You hear me? You cannot serve me and the world. You cannot. Because why? Because you'll prefer one more than the other. Alright? Remember this. In verse 13, he even goes on to say, after he says that the work that I have done, you will do also, and more than I ever did, because I go home to the Father. It says in verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, and if you believe, you act on the things you believe. That's how I know if you're a true follower of Christ, not your lip action. Everybody's lips move frequently and say little. There's not much substance in the lips. And who can control the tongue? You hear me? So I don't listen. But I see what you believe by the way you act. Right? And it says here, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. That is a promise from the living God. He's telling you that there is no reason why, if you are walking according to my ordained plan for you, that the work that I have done, you will do also. And more than I did, because I go home to my Father. Why? He was here for 3 years doing the works, right? How long are you going to be alive? Why wouldn't you accomplish more work in that time? Why? The only reason why not would be because you don't believe. So it says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And in 14, he reaffirms himself again, three scriptures in a row. He says the same thing. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, if you really believe in him, then the works that I have done, you will do also. If you really believe in me, if you aren't doing some kind of a social escapade, if you aren't going to some kind of a Christian yuppie party, if you aren't just involved in some kind of social event, if you indeed have a changed heart and you're walking in my power as I've given it to you, if you get to where it's supposed to be, if you deny yourself and follow me, then the works that I have done you shall do also, and not just as many, but more than that, because you will do more. I'm going home to dad. And then after he says all that, he turns around and says, and whatever you ask in my Father's name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then it reaffirms again, if you ask, you must ask, if is a word, you have not because you ask not. It says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's the promise. And that fulfills the four parts of the Bible study that I've concluded today. That's the promise. I showed you all the steps. It's right here. It's all in the Bible. Are you hearing me? Okay. Verse 15, though, says, right after all that, if you love me, keep my commandments. He shows you the carrot, and then he gives you a little explanation about what love really is. If you love somebody, you continually hurt them. See, I just want to bring this home to you, because that concludes the whole thing. You know, a lot of people talk about the abundant life, but they don't walk in it. Well, number one, our version of the abundant life is not God's version. The abundant life doesn't have to include a Rolls Royce in the driveway, although it can. You understand? It doesn't have to be a Mercedes Benz in the garage, although it's okay. The abundant life means that you and Jesus are one. That's the abundant life, people. It ain't got nothing to do with things. Things can be along with it. But the abundant life means that you and him become one. And if you are in him and he is in you, now all things are possible to you. And not only are they possible, but they will happen in multitudes of ways for the rest of your life. And that is the abundant life. Are you hearing me today? Do you get it? So people, I just wanted to make this short and sweet. I didn't want to spend a lot of time in any other area. Because I want you to know this, that God wants to change your life. God has given you absolute procedures to getting there. His word was left as your path to victory. Amen? And I go back to the first part of it, where I told you about the scripture. And Jesus said to those Jews, believe him. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And how will I know that you believe? Because you abide. Right? And then it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then he takes you through in John, and he goes to this verse here, and in the end, he gives you all these promises. And at the end, he says one more time in verse 15, he says, if you love me, if is a big word, keep my commandments. Because if you believe and know of God, then the love will grow so deep that you will abide just because you love his presence. And if you abide just because you love his presence, then his power will be in you, and you will be in him, and you will have victory over everything in your life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, I'm so thankful for this. It's the shortest of the words given, and it's the most fulfilling, God. Let it be today that each of us just take it inside, and Lord, we learn to live in your word and abide by it, so that we might truly learn to walk in power. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen.